Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians chapter 6. We have a good crowd this morning, many who are visiting, some even who are here for the first time in quite a long time. We are thrilled that you are here. We are thrilled that we are able to worship and to praise our God together, to remember the sacrifice of our Lord, and to spend a little bit of time together this morning in studying the Word of God. A couple of weeks ago, we began what's going to be a short series from Galatians chapter 6 around the idea of being a burden bearer. And where we started was our need to let others be aware of the burdens that we share. The idea of we need to drop the brave face. We need to allow people to know that, no, everything's not always just great in my life. I have struggles, you have struggles, and God has given us each other to help in those times of struggle. Well, this morning we want to begin looking at how it is that you and I, the family of God, brothers and sisters who care, how it is that we can in fact help brethren with these struggles. So I ask you to read with me beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 5. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The matter we want to focus in on this morning is what the apostle says about those who bear these burdens. Let those of you who are spiritual, they are the ones who are going to be able to bear these burdens. And so this morning, before we even begin to talk about what does it mean to actually bear that burden and how we can bear that burden, we need to focus first on our character. We need to focus first on who we are. Are we the spiritual people that God is describing? And only then will we in fact be equipped to help each other bear the burdens of this life. Well, let's start with just trying to define from the text, what does Paul mean by those who are spiritual? We don't have time to go through the entire letter to the Galatians this morning, but I do just want to bring to your attention that this idea of being a spiritual person is found throughout the letter. Go back to the third chapter. We'll read just a few of these. Chapter 3 and beginning in verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. You have to remember, Paul is writing with some concern for these brethren. They were being seduced by a false doctrine that said, follow the law and then you can be a child of God. So Paul has some concerns. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul's question is, what you were experiencing in Christ, did that come from the law, which some were trying to seduce them with? Or did that come with what God is now offering them in Christ and what God has provided them in Christ, and that is His Spirit? Of course, you know the answer to Paul's questions. Skip on down to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, and in verse 6. One of the blessings that God has bestowed on us, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And of course, the fifth chapter, which we're going to spend some time in this morning, but this notion of, in verse 16, I say, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Then he goes on to talk about, in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Or, for instance, in chapter 6 and in verse 8, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This idea of being a spiritual person, of having God's Spirit, and of nourishing that Spirit is found throughout Paul's letter to the Galatians. And of course, thinking of chapter 5, we certainly understand that he is also making a contrast. Being a spiritual person, therefore, is in contrast to what you once were, one who is dominated by the flesh. But I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. If you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. There are two dominating principles, and we're going to be dominated by one of them. We can either allow the flesh to win and fulfill its desires, or we can take that blessing that comes from God, the Spirit that He is providing, be led by it, walk according to the Spirit, reap to the Spirit, sow to the Spirit rather, so that we can reap from the Spirit. These are the questions that Paul is asking and raising these brethren. And of course, from the very grand picture of things, this is in fact what God intends for us. Throughout Scripture, you have the history of man who was once created in the image of God. And yet man, because of sin, fell short of the glory of God. And so what was the promise that God made would happen through His Son? Well, the promise in Ezekiel 36, the beginning of verse 25, was that one day in the future, God was going to remove the heart of stone from His people. He was going to give them a heart of flesh. And He was going to sprinkle them clean with water. And He would give them a new spirit. He would give them His Spirit. What is it that Paul said had happened for us in Christ back in the third chapter and in verse 14? Speaking of the blessings that come in Christ, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, I maintain that what Paul is describing to these brethren in this letter is, in Christ, you have become what God intended for you to become. And that only has occurred in Christ. That did not occur through the law. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But that occurred in Christ. We are now what God intends for us to be. Let's go back to our main text then. If we are what God intends for us to be, then that means we're like Him. That means we're in His image again. Notice what those who are spiritual will do. They're going to restore, but how are they going to restore? They're going to restore in a spirit of gentleness. We spent a good bit of time on this last Sunday. I won't re-preach that sermon today. Why are we to be gentle? Because Christ was gentle with us. God is gentle with us. Those who are spiritual then, those who are walking in the ways of God, those who are becoming more and more like God, they do what God does. They act in a gentle manner toward others, even those who have sinned. Even those who have a burden, no matter what that burden is, they are seeking to be gentle with that person. What else are we to do? We are to bear one another's burden. Do you see that also makes us follow in the ways of God? For what is it that our Lord did for us? our burdens were placed on Him. Those who are spiritual then are engaged in the very same activities that God is engaged in. Those who are spiritual are seeking to be gentle because God is gentle. Those who are spiritual are seeking to bear burdens because God bears burdens. Those are the kinds of people we are supposed to be, so that we can be engaged in this wonderful work. So, those who are spiritual, what is it that we are doing? What does it mean? Well, those who are spiritual recognize they have a duty. And that obligation is to love. Go back to the fifth chapter now. And notice what Paul says beginning in verse 13. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. You were called to freedom, brethren. Let's just pause there. What does he mean by this? You were called to freedom. We'll go back to the earlier part of the chapter. Remember, Paul says in verse 3, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by faith. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. They were once not free. In fact, he said it back in verse 1. They should stand firm in Christ and not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. We have to understand, Paul is not saying that those who seek to follow the ways of God are enslaved. That's not his point. He's looking at the system, though, of Judaism and what the Jews were saying. Follow the law. Be circumcised. Follow Moses. This is your way to be a child of God. And what does Paul say? Where did that lead us? The law is holy, just, and good, we read in Romans chapter 7. And yet we, since we disregard or disobey law, we find ourselves condemned. And so we are slaves. Paul says, don't submit yourself to that anymore. You're free. Christ has made you free. But freedom does not mean free to do anything you want. Freedom from the law does not mean free to disregard the will of God. So back in verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Consider that last verse first. Why is he so eager for them to understand that even though they are free, they must not use that freedom to serve the flesh? Because what does freedom engender in many? No restraint. And what happens when we are not restrained by the will of God and the love that we're supposed to have? We bite and devour each other. Well, that's not real freedom. Paul says, you're free, but don't use that freedom to serve the flesh. Rather, use that freedom to love. And in doing that, you fulfill the law of God. The very commandment that even our Lord said in Matthew 22 and verse 37, the first great commandment being, of course, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Even in our main text, what are we told in Galatians 6 and in verse 2, that when we bear one another's burdens, what are we doing? We are fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 15 and verse 12. Keep my commandment. My commandment is, love one another. We are free. We are free from the yoke of slavery. We are free from the law. We are free from the curses of the flesh and sin and death. But we are not free to do whatever we want. Rather, in our freedom, we are called to love, to be concerned with each other, and therefore to bear each other's burdens. Of course, it would go without reason that those who are spiritual are then led by His Spirit. That is, of course, the passage from chapter 5 that is best known to us, starting in verse 16, where we are told to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And while we don't have time to go through everything in this passage, I do want you to just notice, when we come to the works of the flesh, as found in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, just consider how many of those works of the flesh have to do with our relationship to each other. Quite a few. Quite a few of them had to do with the attitude that I have within and that you may have within that's going to then shape my actions toward you. The enmity that I may have, the strife that I harbor within, the jealousy and the envying that I have. And then others had to do with how those attitudes that are within are then seen in our actions. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. How many of these works of the flesh deal with how we treat each other? And likewise, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit. And what do we see? I submit that you could look at every one of them. And it has to do with not only what you are, but what your relationship is with others. Love, of course. Joy. Well, what are we told in Romans 12 and verse 15? Rejoice with those who rejoice. So my joy is not just what I see in my life and how God is blessing me, but joy is also found in the relationship and the successes and the joys of others. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, not only to our God, but in our relationship with each other. Gentleness, self-control, controlling my own actions so that they do not harm and offend others. All of these, I again say, have something to do with our relationships with each other. And what is the point? We are to be led by the Spirit in these things. These are the ways in which we become more like God. Those who practice the works of the flesh, they don't have a place in the kingdom of God. I do want you to see there the contrast between those who practice the works of the flesh in chapter 5 and verse 21, and in those who may be caught in a trespass in chapter 6 and verse 1. We're dealing with two different kinds of people. There are those who make a practice, a way of life of following after the flesh. That is what we must not be. But then what does happen to all of us from time to time is we do wind up being caught in a trespass. But God's desire, verse 24 of chapter 5, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Those who are spiritual are those who are led by God's Spirit. They are led, and it is seen in their way of life. It is seen in their pattern of conduct, that they are now yielding the fruit of the Spirit and they are no longer practicing the ways of the flesh. One final point. Those who are spiritual back in chapter 6 have put aside their egos. Notice again how that's found in this passage, beginning in verse 1. where we are told to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And why is that so important? Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Again, we are all seeking and striving to be people that are no longer practicing the works of the flesh. And yet all of us may stumble. All of us may become caught in a trespass. And so Paul's warning here is, as you are seeking to bear burdens, you remember you too can succumb to sin. You too can be caught in a trespass. And if there's ever a reason that I need to be gentle with a brother or a sister when they are caught in a trespass, it is this reason. I too am going to be caught in a trespass. And what am I going to need? I'm going to need someone to be gentle with me. So you be gentle with each other. Look at yourself, lest you also be tempted. Then again in verse 3, after we're again told to bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. There is a way in which Christians can boast. We boast in what God has done for us. We boast in how God aids us and how God helps us. We boast in what God is doing in our lives. How pathetic is it when we boast in that I've not done that? I've not committed that sin. I've not fallen in that way. That's not being spiritual. That's not being gentle. That's not bearing burdens. Paul says, look to yourself. If there is any boasting, let it be in what God has done in you. It is never to be in the failings of others. And comparative righteousness. There is no boasting there. And rather, as he concludes, each one will bear his own load. Now that's an interesting statement. We're already told that we're to bear each other's burdens. Now we're told we must each bear our own load. Well, it's helpful to understand he's talking about different concepts there. Even the term burden and load are different. One is an overwhelming weight. Sin, trespass is an overwhelming weight that you can't carry on your own. And that's why Christ bears our sins, why we are to help each other bear these burdens. The load in verse 5, they're smaller, like a pack a traveler would carry. Well, what is that load each one of us must bear? Perhaps in keeping with the idea of the passage, it's kind of individual responsibility and looking to yourself. Maybe it goes back to that fulfill the law of Christ. That yoke that our Lord asks us to bear. That burden He places on us. And what is that burden? To truly love each other. To be these kinds of people that commit themselves to loving their God and to loving their neighbor as themselves. That's a load, a burden, a weight every one of us is supposed to carry. And the only way I can do that is I put myself behind put my ego behind. And rather, I focus on the need of the brother and sister who's before me. Those who are spiritual are called to restore in a spirit of gentleness. We are called to bear each other's burdens. We'll continue that thought next week. But for now, let us again marvel at the very fact that our God, who is gentle with us, our God who is merciful to us, our God who loves us, is willing to bear our burden. He's willing not only to carry away our sins, but to recreate us in His image, to give us the promise that He made to Abraham, to give us His Spirit, that we can be led by that Spirit and walk by the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to be what God intended for us to be. That is available to you and to I in Christ and in Christ alone. And you can have your burdens carried away and receive His Spirit even this morning. Put your faith in Christ and not yourself. Repent of your wrongs. Be baptized. Let Christ wash away your sins and be raised to walk in newness of life. If we can aid you, won't you come this morning as we stand and as we sing?